What if I told you you could be anywhere you want to be in just 3 years? It's true. By staying hyper-focused on your goals and purpose, you can make your vision a reality in just a few short years or even sooner. The trick is, you have to build the routine that will support you in getting there. The good news, we've already done the hard part for you. We created a free 5-minute morning routine tailored specifically to you. It's delivered straight to your inbox each morning, is designed to help you supercharge your mornings with clarity, focus, and inspiration. By committing to this 5-minute routine daily, you'll create total clarity on your purpose and goals, inspiration to help you build a lasting habit, and the life that you want in just 3 years. The best part, this tool is totally free. No strings attached, just valuable resources to help your inner and outer growth. So if you're looking for a short, easy morning routine that will help you, one, stay laser focused on your vision you have for your life, and two, help you make progress towards that vision every single day, head to adamhergenrother.com/future or visit the link in the show notes to create your future self today. Hey everybody, I'm Adam Hergenrother. This is Business Meets Spirituality. We believe in personal growth through business success, and we have a wonderful example of this today. Brandon Beacham is not only a serial entrepreneur, but he also has a podcast called Positive Head with over 15 million downloads. And Brandon's going to share his story, by the way, about how he built up a company in a short period of time. It was on the eve of a $30 million exit, and then it blew up with one phone call. And then how that put into his trajectory of where he is today, again, with his Positive Head podcast and many other things that he's doing right now too as well. But this is the core and the essence of Business Meets Spirituality, about combining the two. And so we have a wonderful conversation. I know you guys are going to enjoy it. So Brandon, thanks so much for being on today. We're super excited to have you. I love all the work you're doing with your podcast, Positive Head. And I love the fact that you have an archive of over 1,400 podcasts to help people, inspire them, and make changes in their life. What I would love, and kind of getting to know you a little bit, I'd love to hear, our audience would love to hear a little bit about your journey, your hero's journey into how you got into kind of dedicating your life to kind of bringing this kind of change or inspiration into people through your podcast and, you know, ultimately the book that you have coming up as well too. So jump into your journey. I'd love to hear it.
Yeah. I'd love to share. So my entrepreneurial journey has been an interesting one. And, you know, I've been a serial entrepreneur my whole life and, you know, had a lot of failing forward, I guess you would say. Yeah. My first sort of win, a significant win was 2010, 2011. I was on my friend's couch. I just had sort of a failed venture. And I was like, you know, I've been committed to understanding, you know, understanding, as I like to say, the ultimate nature of reality and consciousness and tapping, you know, on my own spiritual journey for, well, now like 25 years. And so here I was, you know, 9 years ago, where I'm like, okay, you know, mid-30s on my friend's couch, certainly not a success by societal standards. Yet I had, you know, I knew who and what I actually was. And I was not defined by these things. And they were actually reflections of me in some way, shape, or form. And I was ready to call in greater abundance. And of course, it was a great experience and lesson for me. And even though the external circumstances, all indications are to the contrary, I knew my value was not based off of my success or lack thereof up to that point. And so, you know, I was able to
ask you a quick question there. How did you know?
Sure.
How did you know that? Like, cause I think that's such a, that's such a wonderful way to say that. Like, what did you know in there? Yeah. Sorry.
You know, I'm glad you interjected. 25 years of really looking at, you know, I always say we teach best what we most need to learn. And I started reading, you know, a lot, you know, books like Conversations with God and, you know, so many, but, you know, just tapping into this idea that I'm one with the source consciousness that creates and animates all things. There's only one of us in the room. Everywhere I go, I'm there waiting for myself. The separation between us is an elaborate illusion. Yeah. I'm literally talking to me and another avatar. And so, you know, when I started exploring these ideas conceptually, it was like, I can only attribute it to perhaps that it's my dharmic path to do what I do now, which is helping other people to re-member, come back together. And so I was just lit up about it. And I was like, oh my gosh, of course this is, you know, I was raised conservative Christian. And, you know, it was like, as soon as I started exploring some of these ideas, it's like, oh my gosh, how is everyone not geeking out on this? How is everyone not seeing this? It's like, you know, this time it's like the late 90s, mid to late 90s. And I'm like, you know, talking to anyone who would listen about it. And then, of course, it's one thing to understand it theoretically, and it's a whole nother thing to put it into practice and you know, practice what you preach, so to speak. So, you know, I'd had a long time up to that point of just being passionate about the topic and slowly but surely getting better at implementing these concepts and when, you know, how I would deal with challenges and all these things. So I'd come to a point where it's just like, I'd seen enough. You know, I always say, you know, never get relationship advice from someone who's had the worst relationships you've ever seen. It's like evidence is sort of in the results that it gets you. And so I'd slowly seen like really, really great results. And I realized that there was, you know, there were still some old ideas that crept in that maybe led to my current circumstances, and that there's a lot more to what manifests beyond it. I actually break this down in my new book, The Golden Key, sort of how we create reality. It's there's so many factors that are playing in. It can be other lifetimes. It can be your vibrational offering last week, last month, today. You know, it's like, it's a hodgepodge of things that lead to the results that we're seeing immediately. So I guess confident enough in, you know, what I believe to be the ultimate nature of reality and my own self-worth just as a being, that I was like, I'm going to continue to hold this vision. Universe, I'm calling in more abundance. I deserve it. I am worthy. You know, I am being it vibrationally, regardless of what, be it to see it, I like to say. I'm not going to pay any attention to what's happened in the past. It's all about from here forward. And it eventually, you know, I believe the universe finally gets, okay, Brandon, fine, you know, you're relentless. And so I end up, you know, down a path of creating a travel company. And it goes from me to, you know, 100 plus employees and a couple, maybe 4 years, 3 years. It was a definite roller coaster. Inc. fastest growing private company in 2015 in the US. And it was definitely a hero's journey, because as I just mentioned, I had this vision of I am worthy of a lot more abundance than I've currently had. And I also had this thing that I played out where it was like a little bit of energy of like scared someone would take something from me, or like, you know, sort of like I had a business partner who would always call me like a conspiracy theorist, you know, like, oh, you know, and I really have none of that for the most part at this point in my journey, but then I really did. And it was interesting how it all played out, because, you know, I started the company, and then I brought in my brother real quickly, a best friend about a year in. And then about 4 years in, we brought in a guy who had run a billion-dollar organization and exited. And he was the big wig, you know, exec that we were the scrappy entrepreneurs, and he was a bit older. And so we brought him in to take us to an exit. And he came in and it instantly changed the dynamic. Him, you know, it's me, my brother, the best friend, and now this fourth guy. Well, the best friend, once the fourth guy came in, they became like two peas in a pod. I was really in this spiritual stuff now at this point. And so it became apparent me and the new guy who was going to take us to the exit were not quite, he represented Mitt Romney to the Catholic community in the 2012 election, to give you an idea of was the man, you know, here I am, this weird, you know, entrepreneur slash hippie slash, you know, spiritual teacher slash, you know, he didn't know what to make of me. Yeah. And so we really started butting heads a little bit. And so it made sense. Okay, I'm going to step aside. I helped to start this thing, but you take it to the exit, and I'm going to go focus and start a podcast. And actually, so my friends and family's ears can stop bleeding hearing me talk about all this stuff, and, you know, I can find others. And so awesome. I stepped away to do that. And, you know, he got us to the point where we got an offer to be bought out for about $30 million. Within 12 hours of that offer, we lost 90% of our revenue. We were doing vacation rentals through booking.com. And so 6 months of due diligence with the company was going to buy us. within 12 hours, these two events happened. Well, and it was like,
what happened? I just got to know, like, what?
Well, Okay. So is, so we were doing rentals for, vacation ownership, timeshare. Wyndham is the biggest timeshare developer and hotel developer in the world. Well, we were dealing with their clients and doing rental for them. And, you know, from this, my idea to now we're at $1 million a month in rental or whatever we're doing. And it's, they didn't like us playing in their sandbox. They're not notoriously a very nice company. And they, so the third partner, this last year, by the way, we spoke a little bit about ego when you're on my podcast. And this third partner, him and the fourth, there was a very much a like the ego and manipulation energy that came up from the these two together. And now here I stepped away and I'm the crazy guy is overworking on his podcast. And now my poor brother, this sensitive soul, you know, is there with these guys. And so the third partner got very, his ego just went, you know, out of control. And he took it upon himself to go and actually have a conversation with Wyndham about what we were doing, and which brought it all to light for them. They didn't realize how big we were. They then went to PricelineBooking.com at the time and said, look, we want to have a stronger relationship, partnership with you guys. And that new agreement is going to entail you no longer doing rental with these guys. So that's how that imploded.
You got that. So, was that an email? Was that a call? Like how?
It came. I think it came in a call in the form of. I didn't receive the call. I think it was a call. Yeah. It would have probably been a call because Booking was not happy about it. They didn't want. I mean, we were doing great business with them. We had broken the record in Orlando, the most traveled to vacation destination in the U.S. for the most bookings in a single day on the biggest online travel agency site, booking.com in the world, you know, we're doing really crushing it for them.
Wow.
And Wyndham owns 1 in 4 hotel chains, you know, they're the biggest hotel developer in the world. So here's the next part of the hero's journey tale. So let me back up a little bit. A few months before this, the best friend, now egomaniac, guy, I did spend some time with him for the first time in quite a while, just a few months before. And I remember him asking me, he said, hey, you know, Brandon, you've started this new thing, this new podcast, and it's starting to go kind of well, you know, because as of now, it's like, it's done pretty well. It's been top 5 in spirituality on Apple iTunes consistently. Yeah. And it was just starting that, you know, ascent. And so he's like, oh, it's starting to do pretty decent. You know, what if it really blows up? And our new fourth partner decides that he wants to sue you because you started it while you're still on payroll with our travel company. And this is how their minds worked. And, you know, I'm like, what a question, right? And I'm like, my answer to him was, well, if he were to try and take it from me, I think I would just give it to him because I'm infinitely abundant creator. And there's just so much more where that came from. Right. And this was just kind of like a haha, what would you do? Yeah. Right. So now fast forward a few months. You know, $30 million, oops, never mind, off the table. You just lost 90% of your revenue. Then we uncover because of a email link up we had done years earlier that these two were planning a recapitalization after this, we get hit by this asteroid, as I like to put it. They were planning a recapitalization, which did not include me and my brother, you know, and like seeing these cap tables without us on it at all. And here we're the founders, you know what I mean? We gave them their equity.
Yeah.
And the third partner, we had just sold some months before and the only one who made 7 figures by selling a little bit of equity. I sold a little bit thinking our company's skyrocketing. So I'm like, I'm going to hold into mine.
Yeah.
He took the lion's share and of course, then it all implodes a few months later. So I basically, in this moment, we uncovered that what they were, you know, we're already, you know, limping around, had a very tough year because their energy had shifted things so much. The fourth guy in his defense did get us to the exit, right? That he promised. And so I went back and I said, December 24th, 2015, I said, I've uncovered what you're trying to do in an email. I've uncovered what you're trying to do to my third partner, you know, push us out. You don't have to do that. You can just have what's left. We just want to release to be away from you guys. The energy was so foul and nasty.
Did you have any role at all in the company during this, or were you just mainly doing
Paul's me? At this point, I'd kind of stepped out other than, you know, there were basically 4 equal shareholders, you know. And, you know, it all started with me, though, and I literally delved it out like candy, you know. And so here's where it gets really good. So I always say this is like my hero's journey tale. And I've shared this many times over my podcast over the years. One of my favorite guests I've had is Dr. Eben Alexander. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He wrote a book called Proof of Heaven. He was a Harvard neurosurgeon, and he got meningitis, and you know, his brain went from, here's the Harvard brain specialist who goes from, you know, not into anything woo-woo at all, you know, and all of a sudden he's in a coma. His brain is getting eaten alive. Nothing they can do. After a week, the doctors say, we're sorry to his family. We got to pull the plug. And he's not coming back. His brain is fried. They pull the plug. He miraculously comes back. And all he remembers is his time on the other side and how he was shown how things are structured, how the villains in our story are normally our best friends over there. Now, I felt that very strong. I always remember that. And it's like, gosh, that feels so true to me. I mean, I have a really wild synchronicity story with my birthday. It's like a 10-minute tale of my dad's birthday, great-grandmother, you know, it's like insane story. Yeah, it's my dad's birthday, my great-grandmother's birthday. My great-great died on that day. This business partner, best friend, his baby mama and his grandmother. I met a soulmate on that birthday. Boyfriend before me committed suicide on that day. His name is Anson. All my relatives with that birthday are from Anson, North Carolina. And that's not even half the story. Wow. It goes on and on. So I've gotten to where I just tell the abbreviated version now because it keeps growing. Yeah. So fast forward now. So I write this email December 24th, 2015 to my best friend, business partner. I'm devastated by how things have just went over the last few months. And I trust the mystery. One of my keys in the golden key. I trust the process. I knew it was happening for me, not to me. Surrender. And I said, I got the opportunity to do what I had told him months earlier. I've discovered you're trying to take it. You know, it wasn't about positive head like he had asked about. It was about, you know, this. And I was like, look, I've discovered you're trying to push us out. Actually, you can have it. We just want a release to get away. And he never responded. I ended up signing shares over to someone else. And, you know, and we walked away and we never talked again. And this is someone who had, like, you know, said to me a dozen times, you're like a brother to me. You've done more than anyone for me in my life. I'd given him, he's the only one who became a millionaire off of what I created, you know? So it was very painful and I trusted it. And so now fast forward to 2 months ago, 3 months ago, I just ordered my book where I talk about this story briefly, the villain in my story piece and you know, how they're often your best friend. And all of a sudden I see his name pop up on my phone and I'm like, oh my gosh, do I take this? And my partner, my girlfriend's like, yes, take it. And I'm like, oh, I take it, you know? And he's in this elated state. He says, look, I've been on a intense spiritual journey for the last couple of years. I just had a very powerful meditation where your higher self came to me in this meditation. We have much more work to do. I know this is probably sounds crazy, although I got to think who I'm talking to, so probably not. Yeah. And then, you know, he said something about, I'm here with my friend who's a medium and intuitive, and she's saying something about a book that we're supposed to do together. And you know, I don't write, like I can barely write an email. Like, and I'm like, well, I just ordered my book where you make a guest appearance like moments ago. And, you know, it took me a minute. He did most of the talking and it was like, I just want to thank you for turning me on to this path all those years ago. My life is completely transformed. And he's one of these people, he is an extremist. Yeah. So when he does anything, he does it like to the max times 1,000. And so fast forward, that was a few months ago. I decided to meet up with him on Sunday. And it was about 6 hours, 7 hours we spent together. And
that was the first time in 5 years, right?
First time. Yeah. First time I got, you know, a sincere apology. Thank you. A lot of tears, a lot of energy, a lot of processing came up. And he's just like, he went from after that to losing everything, 100 pounds overweight. Since then, in the last 24 months, another friend offered him a part of his company who, you know, in the marijuana business. And it's just like, they're just like taking over the world, essentially. Yeah. And so he's just crushing it now. And so he's like, look, I just want to help you. How can I help? He's like, he's more passionate about spirituality than I am now, which is saying a lot. The guy has stacks of books, Ram Dass, you name it. And he's just like, I just create these gift packages and give them to anyone. Can I get 100 copies of your book? Like, you know, he's just on one. He's like that extremist. And so that's that literally the story. And I've been telling it up into I trust the process and I love him from afar. I forgived him instantly. And now I have that redemption piece as of, I mean, this is the first time I've really talked about it on anyone else's show because it just happened.
Well, that's awesome. And I'm assuming that you, how do you feel from all of that too as well? I mean, do you feel any release or do you feel like you've
had that connection?
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. There's a lot. A lot of tears for me, a lot of energy, a lot came up, you know, in that moment. And it was very powerful. And I've never seen him. Here's this guy who is like, could be the biggest manipulative D-bag ever. And he's wearing a shirt, I am loving awareness that he created. And it's like, and the last thing he says to me is, well, I spent a decade convincing everyone that you're crazy. And I guess it's my turn.
That's awesome. So are you guys actually going to do something together or are you not sure yet? Or it's
kind of it remains to be seen. I've always felt intuitively that there would be a redemption to this story as well. Yeah. And that, you know, we definitely, our chemistry together is pretty potent and powerful when it's, you know, in the right context and there's not an imbalance happening and like sort of happened at the end before. Yeah. So we'll see. It's fresh.
Love
so he's very much offering and he's, you know, his cash flow is through the roof in 24 months from like taking a $60,000 job to now like, you know,
crushing it,
making, just crushing it. And he was like, I want to spread the abundance. Now I get it. I remember before talking about, I want to create a lot of abundance to use money to disrupt the system, you know, to get rid of it. If that's what it takes, you know, and he's like, I don't, you know, it's just like me at that time in his development. Now he's just like, you know,
well, I think
there's an alignment.
I love hearing that story and thank you for sharing that. I think in the up to date one, you know, I think that a lot of times in business, people, are individuals who I think like we talked about before on your podcast where people, once they actually start making things or they hit rock bottom or something happens in their business life, it actually causes them to reorient differently versus just staying in kind of mediocrity. So sometimes it's the people that go, you know, real low, end up kind of going all the way on the back end over here versus, you know, people who are kind of in that middle, there's not really this pressure to change as much. But when you go from, you know, about to get 30 million in an exit and then zero, and then you kind of just, you're out doing nothing, you kind of hit this bottom and like, you kind of accept the fact, like, how much worse can it get? Right? So it kind of almost like your ego is kind of deflated. That almost allows you to then all of a sudden rebuild and reorient your life, but in a different way to contribute. And then all of a sudden, of course, he's going to run into some sort of abundance. And that doesn't mean it's everyone's going to be like that. Some people may go and be a spiritual teacher, or some people may go and be very ordinary in life. It doesn't always happen that way, but life is going to take care of life because once you're matching yourself in that nature, that's going to flow that way.
Yeah, it's funny too, because out of the ashes of that, had we gotten that payout, I would have probably only done things you know, in the consciousness space. Right. Yes. And because out of necessity, me and my brother formed a new travel company in the same space, slightly different model. And it's done okay. It certainly hasn't been the rocket ship. The previous one was, and now all of a sudden, but I always had the feeling it's like, you know, our brand, that just the name is meant to be a brand. Like this is getting something's here. Like there's going to be something even bigger out of the ashes. And all of a sudden we've just gotten, what do you know? A partnership with the same company, Priceline, where some really cool stuff. And then a friend who built the biggest online real estate platform on the internet, who exited years ago, you know, their billion plus valuation when he exited, he's looking at coming in as a partner. And this is all happening.
Wow.
Interestingly, at the same time, he came back into my life as a friend again. So there's some, you know, and the potential is like, oh, this could be way bigger than what that was. And my brother's sort of the main point person on that project. And I help. We're partners, but he runs it day to day and I focus a lot on this work. So
how do you separate the kind of voice in your head that's derived more from the ego versus these kind of bigger moves that you know that are more intuition that are there? Because I think a lot of times it's people need to figure out, like, how do I know the difference, right? Like, is it the ego, yeah, or is it something I should be participating in life? Like, what is your practice for that?
What a great question. You know, what I found, and I talk about this in the Golden Key, is one of the keys is align your intentions. And so I believe we're entering a new phase of development. There are cycles to everything, as you and I've talked about before. And it's, in the past, I believe source, higher self, God, consciousness, the universe, whatever you want to call it, it does this game of separation, unification. And so I believe we're at a point where we're really starting to move into, okay, time, enough separation, enough destruction, pain, thinking everyone is, thinking there's an other, and living a physical life from that vantage point. And I believe in a season in the past, go back 200 years ago, 100 years ago, some of the things that worked to create abundance or success, I think will become even more challenging in the new world that is emerging. I believe we're emerging from the COVID chrysalis right now. Yeah. I talk about it in the book, where it's like the journey of the butterfly, where, the caterpillar, you probably heard this, it destroys everything in its path. And then all of a sudden these imagine L cells are popping up in it. And the caterpillar cells are, what is this? Invader, kill it. And it does. But then another imagine L cell, then another. And what do you know? They start working together. And then the tide shifts. And this is where the caterpillar cells, basically starts breaking down and goes into the chrysalis. And the all of the pain and destruction that the caterpillar precipitated, the caterpillar cells turn into a goo that the imaginal cells feed on. Is the fuel. Wow. So that it can become the butterfly. And so I believe that's what's happening right now in our society. So more than ever, if you want to know the outcome of what it is you're setting out to do, what is the intention? Is my intention to puff up my ego so I can look cool and have, a bunch of Ferraris or whatever, and not to say there's something wrong with that. What is the intention? Right. Yeah. And so it's certainly, what is it? The Bible that says it's harder for a rich man to enter heaven than a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Yeah, I think exactly. That's a statement, because it's like, oh, you have more opportunity to kind of get out of alignment. So, when you're, in the new world that's emerging, I believe wholeheartedly, if you want to know the results, look at the underlying intention. And if you're always checking back in with that, and if I catch myself in my ego or concerned what other people think, or, it's one of the things with me that's been an interesting journey, and you can probably relate as a podcaster. I have a lot of friends who are, even my podcast is bigger than theirs in listeners, but they're really out there in other ways, like, social media wise, and, like hundreds of thousands or millions of followers. And I'm like, I've never focused on social media. Yeah. It's never been my thing. I've never lit me up. And so it's like, and then all of a sudden now we're in this world where everyone's judging you based off of that. Yeah. So it's like a great opportunity for me to say, hey, check in. Where is my worth coming from? Okay. And if it's ever coming from any of these external sources, I know, that is pointing to something. So as I've retrained myself to really self-examine, I think, from talking to you at length on my show, it's like, I know it's like you are just self-examining all the time. And so it's not like it just happens magically one day. You just start down that path. Next thing you know, that becomes your habit to really look, why is this happening for me? Why is this triggering me? I started to look at everyone else as the master and me as the student. And so it's like, now the guy flipping me off on the road is less about him flipping me off. He has no idea he's actually helping me to become, helping me to sharpen my axe by how I deal with and process that information coming in. Yeah. And so, that's helped me a lot. And it's just been repetition. I mean, I started the podcast, I was like, look, we teach best what we most need to learn. I know if at least one person gets something out of this, it's worth it. And I know who that person is already. It's me, and
I hear a lot of what you're saying is kind of the word I think of about like surrender, right? Have you always been in a situation where you've been able to surrender to life to kind of allow it to unfold, or when did that shift in your life?
it's still shifting and, you know, absolutely not. I've been such a fighter, you know, I'm very fiery, not fighter. I've never been a fist fighter, more of like, I can get fired up. And so that one's been that's been a slow and steady one for me. It's like, okay, oh, I feel my temperature rising here. I feel, okay, the only thing that matters is how I show up in this moment. It's like how gracefully I walk through the fire, like Charles Bukowski said. It's like, and so now I just really, and sometimes I slip, sometimes I fall off. I had someone who moved, I run a communal property in Venice Beach, Los Angeles area called the Mystic Manor. And I was doing retreats here pre-COVID and shooting my new late night style variety talk show, Optimistic. And, after COVID, I had to pivot. And so I started subleasing because it's a very big, big property. And what do you know? Here comes someone with my birthday. And he's, and it turned out to be one of the greatest lessons, you know, for me. I knew something was up as soon as I found out his birthday. I'm like, oh, here we go. Here we grow. Yeah. And he, you know, triggered me in ways I hadn't been triggered since I was 14. You know, I write about it in him in the book. It's like he's simultaneously been one of the most helpful people who ever set foot here out of dozens and dozens that have spent time, you know, and also the most challenging. Yeah. And it was really fascinating because I worked through, it got to a point where he was tough, man. It was like, wow, if my shadow were to appear in the form of another, here it is, like full on. But I was aware enough. And I was like, I remember I got to a point, this isn't that long ago, over Christmas. And I was like, if he's not going to leave, I've got to shut the whole thing down because COVID and you're evicting people and you can't really get away with it. Yeah. And it's like, okay, I can't spend another moment under the roof with this person. Even though I love them, I want to love them from afar. It's like way too challenging. Yeah. And I had this moment and it's like, I thought, you know, I surrendered. I was like, okay, Brandon, you put so much heart into this and now it's turned into something that you didn't envision. Maybe time to let it go. And that combined with also, I'd also had the thought before that of like, but Brandon, if you get the message, if you get the lesson from the experience, the universe will create the natural separation. You don't need to figure out the details, how to get this very challenging, very can be strong, aggressive personality and energy who's like, hell no, I'm not moving out. I'm taking your room, you know? Yeah. And so I was like, okay, if you get the message, if you get the lesson, a natural separation will occur. But I came to a moment where I surrendered. And it was interesting. In that moment, I saw like a crazy synchronicity and I knew that it would be okay. Yeah. I then had the feeling like, oh, I just got a great sign. Like it's going to be okay. And sure enough, you know, as another event started unfolding with a lot of like agitated energy coming at me where I'd taken the bait before, it's like, I just held to, first, I'm only going to communicate via text. Luckily it was the holidays. I was not around him. So that removed one barrier, only text. Okay. All this insults and energy coming at me. I need you to leave. Sorry, this isn't working out. All the stuff coming at me. I need you to leave. I just held the vision. And then all of a sudden, oh, things are turning. I just got an opportunity in another state. Oh, this is great. And all of a sudden it became great for him and he departed.
Yeah.
It was incredible. The day he left too, Adam, as soon as he left, we had, you know, and we don't get a lot of weather here, like Vermont, LA, like, you know, any drama is like exciting. Oh, it's sprinkled, you know? And we had, within hours of him leaving here at the Mystic Manor, it was like, and I was down the road at my parents' house about 45 minutes away. Normally the weather's identical, right?
Yeah.
It's raining here, it's raining there, whatever. There was like a tornado that hit here.
Really?
On the day, like everyone who's here was like, Brandon, we thought the walls were going to blow down. I came home and my stuff was blown off my balcony down below my big umbrella. Like, and so I feel intuitively like here, me and the soul have done this dance many times where it's very aggressive and, you know, escalated. And I passed the test, the boss at the end of my level, you know, the villain in this scenario is actually a great ally who loves me so much that he's willing to play the role. And in some cases, you know, when you think of a villain, they're actually stepping into darkness. My favorite all-time book is called The Little Soul in the Sun. It's a children's book by Neil Donald Walsh. And it talks about what I believe is a story of mankind. And he basically said, you know, goes just to summarize, it's like, you know, this adventurous soul got the idea of this far out idea called forgiveness that made no sense in the perfection of eternity. And, you know, God or the sun in the metaphor, you know, the book, like, you always were the adventuresome one. I knew you'd come up with this. And then the other little, he goes, we'll create a place you go to, and, you know, another soul will have to volunteer to lower their light and vibration so much that they then can do the awful thing to you so that you can have the experience of forgiveness. And the book makes everyone cry I've ever seen read it. You can read it in 10 minutes. And it's like another little soul steps forward and says, I love you so much. I'll play this role, but I will I will have dimmed my light so much in the moment I do this thing to you, please just remember me as I am here. Because if you don't remember me, I will certainly have forgotten myself, and I may be gone for a very long, long time.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. Just such a beautiful way to paint, you know, this journey of, you know, the other, the villain, the yeah. parent that did you wrong, the, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
What is your number? You mentioned is your birthday the number that you kind of see resonate everywhere?
July 28th is my birthday. And you know, 37 is, for some reason, I would just say is my favorite number as a teenager, just like made it up, you know. And now all of a sudden I'm seeing lately all the stuff about 37, and, you know, it's happened like a bunch just in the last few weeks. So, but it's different at different times. I've started to notice, you know, I have a lot of people on my podcast where they're, you know, really deep with, like, you know, shamanic, you know, I'm talking to, you know, multidimensional beings every day on the foot of my bed or in a spaceship and having these far out wild experiences. I haven't had a lot of that particular stuff myself, although I'm very open to the possibility. And, you know, I have no reason not to believe the person telling me. Like with channeled books, for example, it's like, maybe so, maybe not. I can look at the information and see it's brilliant. So I'm going to assume you're probably up to tapping into something really potent here. And, you know, in some of the cases, some of my favorite books are supposedly channeled. But for me, the birthday thing, the synchronicity happens on like an incredible scale. Like it's just, it's nuts. And so sometimes it'll be numbers, various numbers. The number that comes to mind when I was having that surrender moment about the house was, I saw it was 3:11 and I had 3 minutes, 1.1 miles to get to where I was going to go. That was actual sign. Now, when I started on my spiritual journey, you know, 25 years ago, I was in a band called Kundalini, our biggest influence. One of them was the band 3:11. So I still have just having my spiritual awakening. So 3:11 was actually like the first synchronicity signs I ever started to see. Hadn't really thought of it in years and years and years. And then all of a sudden here it is, like right in my face in this very surrender type moment that I was having. So
yeah, 828 for me is the number that I've seen it show up a lot in my life. Like,
oh, that's very close to mine.
Yeah, 728. No, it's interesting. The 828 is my birthday, but it shows up everywhere. It's like,
oh wow,
I'll be listening to a book or a channeled book or whatever it is, an Audible, and I'll get this, like, I run a lot or skin a lot and exercise, and all of a sudden I'll be like, oh, that just hit me at a deeper level. And all of a sudden, like, the mile marker will click off and I'll look down and it'll be like 828, right? Or like,
wow.
It's like, the first couple of times you're like, that's there, but it's shown up so much when you kind of have that visceral feeling. And then there's almost like this external thing that comes in. It's like, or I'll look at the clock, the external, it'll be like 828, right? And it's like, wow, it's way too much of a coincidence to be happening just for those moments. And it happens when it's not like I'm walking around going, where's 828? Where's 828? Right. It's like this overwhelming feeling that comes in. And then all of a sudden the reassurance comes in from somewhere else. Like, it could be your watch. It could be, you know, somebody yelling out, hey, we start at 828 or whatever it is. Like, that's happened too. And I'm like, wow, Jesus. It's like, you know, somebody's like, hey, you need to go back on stage. And I was like, well, what time is it? They're like 828. I'm like, what? Like, it's like, you know, you hear those things and it's just, you're kind of like there. And so I've looked up like the Bible verse of that. And I actually, there was a time not too long ago where I was interacting with somebody else, telling him a little bit about this, and he literally pulled in the 8:28 Bible verse. And I was like, I actually kept the email because I was like, man, that was too much of a into our conversation with it. So I think if people kind of get in tune with that and pay attention, it may not be numbers, it may be something different for somebody else, but if you're open to, just like you said, I'm open to receiving whatever's out there, I think life will nudge us in a way that we're not, and part of it, it's not spiritual in the sense that it's some mystic thing. It's just, we're so caught up in listening to the left side of the brain talking language that's the only thing that we think is real. And the reality is there's a whole bunch of other dimensions that are out there. We just need to stop paying so much attention to language, because language is beautiful, but has a shadow side to it. And we all get so caught up in the identification of language that if it's not grouped in that sense, then everything else isn't real.
Yeah. Yeah. My friend Robert Grant said, how did he put it? Something to the effect of, what we call synchronicity or whatever, it's like God's patterned encryption is available to be seen by those who are, looking. And it is once, as humans, we're really good at pattern recognition. Once you start tuning it in this way, I started doing that in my own life. And it's just like, I think you said something good too. It's not necessarily always this great grand spiritual meaning. I think the more, when you're more aligned within your highest potential timeline, I personally believe you're really in the flow of, your greatest and grandest self. It's like, these are sort of little signposts, and it's you're in a universe that is, you are the lead director and actor in your own private universe, I believe. And it's reflecting you back to you. Everywhere you go, you're there waiting for yourself. And so you start to just see, like, there's so many more layers to the onion. And if you just stop and and then of course, the more you start to connect the dots, the more dots that appear, it's that whole thing as well. So it's not necessarily, it's just like, it's life. Oh, yep. Your life is reflecting you back to you. Just a little reminder in this case that it's all an extension of you.
Yeah. I love that. What does spirituality mean to you?
What does spirituality mean to me? Spirituality means remembering what we have forgotten.
Yeah, love that.
I think it's coming back home.
Yeah.
It's remembering the nature of the situation in which we find ourselves, the ultimate nature of reality. And I don't have more spirituality than the guy who's never even thought about any of this for a moment. Yeah. I'm just remembering, more in this moment. And by the way, that's not at all better. It's all.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all necessary for the experience, all the variations of experience that source wants to experience. And that includes no awareness of my spirituality, denial of my spirituality, no pattern recognition, no feeling connected, no brilliant meditations or, that's spiritual too.
You mentioned way earlier on, and I kind of wanted to bring this up real quick, is you mentioned past lives. And I don't know if you have you ever done a past life regression before?
A long time ago, I did one, and it wasn't as profound for me. It's like I started to have some visions of, and then it was kind of like one of those things. Well, it's like, oh, am I just making this up?
Yeah.
And, of course, the thing that the person who was facilitating brought to my attention that I agree with was like, well, even if you're bringing it up, there's something to that for you, right? Yeah. If it's just coming straight out of your subconscious as opposed to maybe your superconscious or beyond the veil. I've had people tell me about my past lives and some interesting scenarios and things like that. And that's been cool.
Where do you think past lives have come into play here?
Great question. I believe, first off, you and I, as we speak in this moment is as divine as any other moment ever has been, could be, or will be. And we are literally floating in eternity. So it's, I believe in relative truths. You and I are separate. That's true. You and I are one. That's true. What vantage point from which are we speaking? Yeah. So from one perspective, I believe there is a path to life, meaning, my soul created a a step program for itself. From another perspective, it's all happening in the eternal now. Yeah. It's, you know, my fifth birthday party is happening on another channel. I'm just not tuned into it. That past life is a parallel life because it's actually happening in the now. Same with your future. So it's like, actually the future can affect the now the same way the past can affect the now, I believe. And so we're very used to the idea of my past affecting the, you know, now, not so much the future, but when you start to think in, you know, and Einstein has proven, you know, time itself is an illusion.
Yes.
You know, you shoot me into outer space at light speed, bring me back a day later, I'm a day older and you've been dead for 20 years or whatever it is, you know, there's a difference. Yes. So
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. That's my thoughts on that whole thing.
Yeah. What is your relationship with money?
Money. Yeah. you know, well, my new book, The Golden Key, Modern Alchemy to Unlock Infinite Abundance. I start off saying, look, you may think this book is about how to, you know, invest in cryptocurrency or switch to Geico and save $300 a month. It's like, money is a form or a symbol, a reflection of abundance. And it's really just a symbol. And so it's, money is just one form of abundance. And, you know, I would say time being the most valuable form if I had to gauge, but, you know, health, money, time, you know, wisdom, relationships, these are all various forms of abundance. I believe abundance is our birthright, the quintessence of our being, the essence of the essence. I believe we're one with the abundance that creates and animates all things. Like literally all of the abundance that I see in the world is like an extension of me. I am that, you know? So when a lot, so many people are caught up in this one relative truth of separation, right? So they can't even fathom that that's actually an extension of them. So when you start switching your narrative and perspective to seeing through this lens, it really, it's like my relationship with money has been really interesting. I mean, even sharing that journey with you of fear of it being taken away and then that reflected. So it's, you know, it's been an up and down thing for me. Even my child, you know, he saw times where we were scrounging for food, you know, and he's also lived in like, you know, mansions. Yes. So he's gotten the contrast of that. So at the end of the day, I think it's a reflection of, you know, I love the idea when you come holding your bag of sugar to be filled, it will be examined to see how large it is. What do you think you're worth? You know, I believe we're sitting on the back of a whale fishing for minnows oftentimes when, and so it's just, if I get in touch with the truth of who and what I, the essence of the essence, the quintessence of my being, money is going to show, is going to be a reflection of that. So it's not this thing out there. There is no out there. Yeah. It shows up as a reflection of my internal state. So I think that's very encouraging for a lot of people who are struggling. Yes. It's like, the good news is, your only job, the one job we all have to manage our vibration. That is the job. So, and you want more money, you want more, you can't figure out how to get to it. Hey, I didn't have any interest in the travel industry. I knew nothing about it. I was calling in and aligning with the abundance that is my birthright, and the universe brought the conditions. You know, one last thing I'll add is, I had a guy on my show, Derek Rydell, he talks about this, and I love the way he puts it. Is like, he calls it the law, as opposed to the law of attraction, he talks about the law of emergence. Mm. It's already there. Yeah. It, just like the acorn, you know, if there's an acorn laying on the ground and a kid takes it and puts it on his, you know, nightstand, it's never going to become the oak tree that is within it, that's in its potential. Give it the right sunlight, the right water, the right soil. Guess what? It turns into this incredible, abundant oak tree. Yeah. Now, in that process, the shell cracks, all kinds of crazy growing pains, et cetera, et cetera. But that's what I believe about our abundance, is about creating the right conditions to manifest more monergy.
I love that. I love that. Well, Brandon, it's been amazing on here. How do people connect? Obviously, you have Positive Head. You have your new book coming out here. Where can people grab that?
Yep. Yeah, the book actually we just released, and what I've decided to do in an effort to practice what I preach, I like to say we are, you know, I call it the good kind of selfish. What I do for you, I do for me. And so therefore, how I believe that the number one way I can contribute to helping us to transition into the planet of paradise we're meant to be in and coexist in is by helping people to wake up and remember the truth of their abundant birthright. So what I decided to do with that is, okay, I have 25 years of this, 1400 episodes on the Positive Head podcast. Awesome. How do I distill this down into 3 hours? Actually, my book landed on 3 hours and 11 minutes.
Oh, awesome.
Exactly. Yeah. I was so disappointed on one thing though. I think Audible or someone like cut off a little bit because it's 3:10:55 now, but whatever. Yeah. It was 3:11 exactly. I had my friend add a few seconds to get it there, but it was like pretty much right there. Yeah. And so what I've decided to do is gift it. And, you know, by sharing the keys to abundance, I know that it's just more will come back to me. So that's what I did. I allowed, you know, anyone who wants to do
key,
so
right?
to create it.
Yep,
the golden key. And at goldenkey.gift, they can then use a gift code to get the audio or ebook, you know, 3 hours distilled, awesome. You know, what took me 25 years to really figure out. And actually, I believe you created a code to gift.
We did.
Surrender.
Yep.
Yes. So if you guys use the gift code surrender, you can actually download the golden key audio or ebook. And then also you have the opportunity to create your own if you want to keep spreading the keys if you're inspired. And and then I invite people to play a game at the end, an abundance manifesting game and all of that jazz. So, and share the abundance from that with everyone. 50% of that goes back to everyone. So it's really gives me the opportunity to walk the talk and practice what I preach.
Well, I love it. I know our audience definitely loved it as well too. So thank you so much for being on here and for sharing it and for giving away your book. I know I can't wait to dive into that as well too. And again, Positive Head, 1400 episodes of just filled back information. So we're super excited to direct people over there as well too. And thank you so much for being on.
Yeah, it's been such a pleasure, Adam.
Yes,
thank you for all that you do.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you all for listening.
Hey, if you like this episode of Business Meets Spirituality, make sure to subscribe to this podcast before you go so you don't miss future episodes. Or visit our website, adamhergenrother.com. That's H-E-R-G-E-N-R-O-T-H-E-R, to subscribe to our show wherever you listen to your podcast. And don't forget, never give up on joy.